Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. A series of contemporary plays for radio. Earplay.
This week, Earplay presents The Disintegration of Aaron Weiss by Mark Medoff. Medoff lives in Las Cruces, New Mexico, where he is an associate professor of English at New Mexico State University. His first play to be professionally produced in New York was When You Coming Back, Red Rider, which brought him instant recognition. Since then, Medoff has had plays presented at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco and the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles. He was commissioned by Earplay to write a drama for radio, The Disintegration of Aaron Weiss by Mark Medoff.
One of my undergraduate philosophy professors impressed on me the notion that the concept of if is important, only if we confront it. Before we do something, and then make a choice. Conscious of the possible ramifications and willing to be responsible for whatever those ramifications might be. I've always thought that was good advice. And it's been difficult to ignore with the assiduousness and consistency with which I have ignored it. My name is Aaron Weiss. I'm 26 years old and my life is a pain in the keister. For one thing, there's the PhD in American literature I pursued, and which I do not want more than anything I can name. And my damnable dissertation on Gertrude Stein and the Lost Generation. These two enterprises constipate me mentally. And there is, on the other hand, and at the other end, my gastrointestinal tract, which is subject to spasmodic explosions of water and roughage and occasional half-digested solids 10 to 15 times daily out of my raw and ravaged rectum. Finally, there is Lisa Belmondo, the first female, other than my mother and sister, with whom I have lived in my life. Lisa Belmondo, who, if in my second year of graduate school I had not gotten next door to a party on a night I should have been studying for an exam in Old English, I would not have then, and probably would not have ever, met.
Aaron, come on in, pal. Where you been?
Jail.
That was a hell of a demonstration today.
How would you know?
You should have dispersed like the rest of us when they told us to. We accomplished what we set out to.
Nothing.
What's that, pal?
We accomplished nothing.
Hey.
I've had it.
Don't say that.
I've had it.
He said it again.
I'm going to concentrate on getting my odious PhD. Then I'm going to get a teaching position somewhere where they lynch liberals and settle down. Get married to a Methodist or a Lutheran, maybe. Convert to Catholicism and have 9 kids, a station wagon, maybe even a 200-pound sheepdog.
Very funny, you nut, you.
Hey, look who's here. Hey.
The problem, you see, was that I'd begun to be suspicious of my sincerity in these matters of world peace and human equality, irrespective of consideration relative to race, color, etc. In the back of my mind, a voice was becoming voluble. And frankly, its increasing volubility was frightening the hell out of me. It was into that fear that Lisa Belmondo came with her guacamole.
Hi. Would you care for some of my guacamole? Did you have yet?
I just got here. Yours is the first guacamole I've been offered.
Everybody gets 2. If you've already had, please don't hog.
Hogging's against everything I believe in. Only pigs hog.
Would you like both of yours now or one now and one later?
Look, I just got out of jail. after taking it upon myself to decide the fate of the United States of America, and you come to me about whether I want one green thing or two, I don't know that I'm presently equipped to handle a choice like this.
Very sorry, but could you please just tell me? Others are waiting, and I still have to do burritos.
What's with the Indian headband?
I'm into my Indian thing.
What Indian thing?
My thing with the Indians.
Oh, yeah, that Indian thing.
I have a friend who's an Indian.
What's he or she wearing? Bobby socks and loafers?
We really did it to the Indians. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, let me confirm something for you. You're wearing that headband is going to be a big help to our Red Brothers. Guaranteed. What about Nam? What's the credibility gap?
If you really want to know, I'm not that big on causes.
Oh, lie if you want. As of today, it's all the same to me.
I'm into other things. Besides causes, I mean.
I wonder if sex would be one of those other things.
Excuse me?
I wonder if you would come to my apartment with me and let me touch you.
Just like that?
Absolutely not. With care and meticulous passion.
What made Lisa Belmondo so incredible to me was not the lack of obligation or responsibility I felt toward her. Neither was it the simple fact of her physical perfection. What it was the simple fact that Lisa Belmondo was the first perfect body that I had had the opportunity to ravage. For all my sexual life, I have almost invariably become involved with girls who possessed some defect, however slight. At the time I met Lisa Belmondo, for instance, I was involved with a doctoral student in secondary education, Italian girl who had a mustache, or who would have had a mustache if she didn't shave it. I can conjecture that due to my inability during puberty and adolescence to capture the really physically beautiful girls, I developed a preference for defectives. I have the ability to mentally erase a particular taint, a mustache, a mold or boil, a birthmark, hairy areole, and to find the girl not only adequate, but terrific, since, basically, I am grateful to her for making herself available to me. I think that such conjecture is partly truth and partly nonsense. The part I think is nonsense is based on an infinite certitude that even the really beautiful girls, the perfect ones, have a defect somewhere, if one is but willing to look hard enough to find it. To corroborate this unshakable belief, I examined Lisa Belmondo's body with fanatical care, probing here and there, parsing this and that, in search of unsightly hair, a nasty scar, an ugly toenail, anything. But I found nothing. Soon, Lisa Belmondo was spending the night, making my breakfast, sending me off to a class or to the occasional demonstration I still felt obligated to attend. Then, tidying up everything that needed tidying and disappearing to her own apartment for the bulk of the day. Then she was bringing clothes for several days at a stretch, seriously taking the Ajax to the tub and sink. She did the laundry as fast as I dirtied a load, supplying the quarters and the iron and ironing board. And when it so much as showed a sign of going in the fritz, she ministered to my VW. At last, she was never absent. At first, it was wonderful because I had often fantasized of living with a girl to whom I was not married. There was about the arrangement something titillatingly incorrigible.
The brandy didn't do it. No, the brandy didn't.
Early on,
the brandy didn't help at all.
We went into Yosemite, and in the dying light of our fire, following a couple of shots of an arcane California brandy, which only Lisa and two or three other brandy aficionados knew about, we zipped our two sleeping bags together into one downy, labiate envelope. Lisa Belmondo was in bed as she was in everything else. Impeccable, inventive, knowledgeable.
Oh, I only went to junior college for a semester. Then I read books for everything on my own. For sex, I read the Kama Sutra.
I think you remembered everything. What should I do for you, though?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nothing. I'm fine.
You can't be satisfied just giving.
Want to bet?
Huh?
Haven't you ever read that philosopher... what's his name? You know.
Rodriguez.
Who?
Pepe Rodriguez. Guy in my outfit in Germany. Great thing. Never eat unwashed fruit.
No, I wasn't thinking of him.
He's got a very small, let's say, select following.
I was talking about... Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
I was going to, but I won't.
Shoot.
You know something? It's really nice here.
Wait, I have to remember who I'm thinking of. He was Jewish, too.
Oh, Socrates.
He wasn't Jewish.
Don't kid around. He had a bar mitzvah they still talk about in the back streets of Athens.
Oh, you. Come on.
What do you want me to do?
Help me.
How?
Just give me a hint. He was the one who said a person could be an altruist and it could be a, you know, a venerable way of life.
Viable.
No, that wasn't him.
A viable way of life.
Oh, yeah. Viable. I'm sorry.
Ethical egoism, hedonism, altruism.
Don't tell me. No, tell me his first name, but that's all.
Barry.
I don't think so.
Big Barry.
You're a big help. Was it Barry?
To his friends around The Hague. You can call him Baruch.
Spinoza. Baruch Spinoza. Oh, God, thanks. You saved my life. Anyway, I get all the satisfaction I can use by being an ethical altruist. What are you?
Given the choices, I'd have to say an unethical hedonist.
Oh, you are not. Isn't this unbelievable?
Great. Just great.
You know whose picnic we're going to have for lunch tomorrow?
Who's?
King George and Marie Antoinette.
George and Marie. I doubled with them.
I read it. I thought it would be fun to try to duplicate.
Great.
I couldn't find pheasant.
Stink.
That sort of ruins it, doesn't it?
Come here.
What do you want to do next weekend? Want to backpack down along the coast, along the beach? We'll play like we're pioneers and eat only what we catch from the sea or forage off the land.
Fishing and foraging.
Wow.
God, do I?
Munch? Hey, Munch.
Don't call me Munch, Lisa, please.
Aaron.
Call me Aaron.
I did.
I didn't hear you. You see, I'm trying to finish scanning this poem.
You want to have a conversation?
What for?
We're having dinner.
I don't get the connection. We have dinner every night.
Usually people who live in the same apartment that haven't seen each other all day have a conversation at dinner.
That seems like an unnecessarily rigid lifestyle. I've been having conversations at the university all day. What do I want to come home and have more for?
Because we live together.
We've been living together for 6 months, Lisa. No offense, but I've conversed with you on all the subjects I care to cover at this time.
How many diarrhea attacks have you had today?
If you don't mind, Lisa, I don't relish talking diarrhea while I have my dinner.
Are you sure you're taking all your vitamins? Drinking your protein shake?
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating sensibly when you have lunch at the university and I can't see you?
Yes, Lisa, I am. I'm eating all meat wieners and French fried spuds.
Bad
artificially
lunch.
Colored cakes and Coca-Cola.
Bad,
Hershey
bad,
bars.
Bad
processed
boy.
Peanuts. And, yes, Fritos.
Oh, you bad, bad boy. I don't know what I want to do with you.
The voice at the back of my head spoke unceasingly to me now. Yet I could not, or would not, hear the words, if indeed that's what they were, it uttered to me.
Okay.
And still, I knew distantly that the fact I was having 5 to 10 diarrhea attacks daily was symptomatic of something awful.
You like this wine, Munch? Only about 5 people in the whole state of California even know where this winery is.
There was this Yugoslavian girl I went out with when I was in undergraduate school.
Was she a wine person?
She claimed I was by nature a poet. Kindred spirit, in fact, to Arthur Rimbaud.
Mm. Jean-Nicolas Arthur Rimbaud, 1854-1891. Say, I really ought to learn some Yugoslavian dishes, shouldn't I?
By application, as it turned out, I was excremental, and the closest kinship I discovered between myself and Rimbaud was that we both stopped writing poetry when we were 19.
You'll like having our ranch a heck of a lot better than writing poetry, believe me. Ride in the range, boy.
I broke a bottle of cheap Rhine wine over her head one night when she wouldn't let me touch her breast.
What I think, Munch...
Don't call me Munch.
...never strongly enough orientated to a live-and-let-live philosophy.
Oriented, not orientated.
Sorry.
There's no orientated.
Oriented.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Well, you don't have to say so.
No. You're right. Pretend I didn't.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead. I'll finish scanning this poem later. Tell me something about Yugoslavia. What are their major insects?
Why do you like to make me sound stupid?
I'm sorry. You're not stupid. It's just that... Something's not right. Hold it. I'm sorry. Don't you recognize contrition when you hear it? Sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Just go ahead and do whatever you're doing to that poem.
No. Name an activity.
You want to take a walk?
Not really. No. Only kidding. That was a joke. A walk. Great.
The Very Long Range Monoplane is a heck of a story. I ever tell it to you?
You bet. One of the great monoplane stories.
How about the Falcon Stag Beetle?
Well, I can't get really worked up over beetles. I think if a person is going to, really commit himself to beetles, he ought to damn well feel something pretty strong for them.
Okay. Name a bird.
One bird.
No. You have to stump me first.
The emu.
Emu?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Emu. emu.
Okay, time's up. You don't know the emu.
Emu! The emu is a rat-type flightless bird that resembles the ostrich, but smaller.
There are times in life, the Yugoslavian told me one night, when we know we must put our lives to test of fire. If we do not, we know we cannot live with selves. I can't recall the particular context in which she spoke that particular aphorism. She was rather ritualistically aphoristic. Even after I'd broken her arm, she still called periodically to inquire after my poetry, as if, though finished with me as a prospective lover, she still held some responsibility for my role as an aspiring poet. How poetry, she would ask. Finally, when I told her I'd given up, she said, a person can quit only so many things before he shrivel up to death. Better hope you don't have to live and be dead at same time. That voice I hear, you see, I think I've determined that voice is a sound out of my future. And the words it speaks are truths it knows about my future, which I mustn't know.
Stop it. Now tell the truth, Bunch. What would you do if all of a sudden I just died one day and nobody ever made chucrut garni for you again?
Hey.
Yeah?
You know that guy down at the pool this afternoon, Ward? You know old Ward? Phys ed guy?
He makes it pretty hard for a person to ignore him.
Good-looking guy, yeah. Bet you can't keep your eyes off him.
Quercus agrifolia and Quercus crystallepsis.
What are you doing, Lisa?
Just going over some trees I want to memorize. That was the California live oak. Oh, what were you saying about that guy?
He's driving me crazy.
Agrifolia has larger acorns. How come? Is he a homosexual?
Queer for you is what he's queer for.
Don't worry. Quercus
about what?
Me doing anything with him.
No. Lisa, listen. I mean, what I'm getting at here is that he's crazy about you. And he's driving me nuts. I think you ought to go out with him a couple of times.
What?
Just to, assuage his... Why are you looking at me like that?
Ha-ha.
Are you kidding? You think I was serious? I just wanted to see... But
don't you think he's tried to pick me up?
Well,
oh, he's tried, boy. Believe me, he's tried.
Yeah.
He's only made love with about every girl in the whole building.
Don't be ridiculous.
When I turned him down flat, and I did much, you know who he started on? Huh?
Okay, look, that was a
Do
great
you know?
Walk. I gotta read a book now.
The wife of that nice young microbiology professor who is telling me all about all the poisons they stick in baby food.
Okay, give me your windbreaker.
That stinks if you ask
me. You're gonna give me your windbreaker or not? I have work
to do. She's his wife! I mean, if someone belongs to someone, you don't try to make love with them if you're not the owner.
Excuse me, Lisa.
Munch, are you all right?
I'm going to have to step into the bathroom.
Is it your tummy? Munch? Munch?
Buster and Brother, how are you, darling?
Mom, great, just great.
I didn't go to work today.
Oh.
I just was sick of that store that I'm
in.
Oh, how school, darling.
School? Great, school's great.
Wasting
my time?
I miss you. Since you went in the army and now out there, I have no one to talk to.
Oh, sure you do, Mom. You have Pop.
Sure. Your father's working too hard as usual.
Oh.
He doesn't have to.
Uh-huh.
Oh, your sister Susan is terribly unhappy working with us, but she won't do anything else.
Oh.
Dad has offered to put her through law school, but...
Uh-huh.
Oh, I miss you, darling.
I miss you too, Mom.
Do you?
Of course.
It's not fun being 55 and having nothing.
Well, what do you mean, nothing?
Don't do anything foolish while you're out there.
Foolish?
Promise me?
How come you never told them about me? Are you ashamed I'm not Jewish?
Are you crazy? I'm delighted you're not Jewish. You're the perfect bludgeon to wield against my parents and sister.
I'm going down and wax your car.
It doesn't need waxing.
I mean, all I'd like to know is why you don't want to tell them.
It's a very complicated... Look, are you going to stop filling the airwaves so damn much or what?
Am I talking too much?
You talk incessantly.
I like to have communication.
Incessant and unrelenting speech is not communication. It's symptomatic of a deep-seated psychological problem.
I don't talk when you're studying.
No. What about now? What do you call now?
You're just watching that tennis match.
Not just. I'm deeply embroiled in it.
All right. But
the gallery is to remain silent.
It's on TV. They can't hear us.
You'd be surprised.
One of the best things about our relationship, Munch,
don't
is that
call
we
me
talk
Munch.
A lot.
You talk a lot.
What do you do?
I don't know. I do... I don't talk.
You used to.
You've confused me with someone else.
We have more in common than any couple we know, and you know it.
I don't know it. All I know is I'm 26 years old, and I think I'm... I think maybe I'm... I hear this voice, see?
What voice?
And the problem is I can't make out what...
Yes, Munch?
Skip it.
You hear voices?
Don't be ridiculous.
I was just reading some interesting things about dye-stamp metal powder flasks.
Okay, and while we're at it...
At what?
I am also exasperated by the following subjects. Please take note of each of them and never speak of them again. Ready?
Sure, Munch.
Don't call me Munch. Amphimixis. Meteorology. Kidney vetch. Australian billabongs. Prosthodontics. Diets. Trees, shrubs, flowers, airplanes, birds,
bugs and dirt.
Soil, not dirt.
Soil and dirt both.
I don't talk about dirt.
You once told me it was good on occasion to eat a handful of dirt.
It is.
That's not the point.
I said soil, I'm sure.
I have tape.
Oh, you do not.
And I am sick to the brink of death of talking about cows and horses and dogs and cats and pigs. I am as conversant as I ever want to be with the multitudinous varieties of foreign and domestic salami. I have no interest, now or ever, in further knowledge of the internal combustion engine.
Then what should we talk about?
Nothing.
All we'll be then is a couple of people that make sex together.
And while we're at it, don't do so much for me.
What should I do?
Less.
Makes me happy to do a lot.
A lot of people are perfectly content being less happy than you are.
I'll be bored.
You'll get used to it.
What's wrong with doing what I'm doing?
You're driving me crazy.
Well, then tell me what to do.
Don't clean and iron and vacuum and scrub and bake and cook when I'm here and studying or working on my dissertation. Do those things when I'm at the university.
It's summer.
So?
So you're not taking classes and you're not teaching classes.
And?
You're always here.
Good.
So when should I do everything?
When I'm not here.
When's that?
Go sit on the couch and keep an eye on me. When you don't see me anymore or hear me exploding my bowels into the toilet or taking a shower, I'm probably not here.
I'll never get anything done.
Swell.
The place will turn back into a pigsty just like it was before I came.
It wasn't a pigsty.
Well, it wasn't as clean as it is now.
No place in the history of architecture has ever been as clean as this place is now.
So?
So. So you're 21 years old and I don't need my socks ironed. When you put socks on, they become smooth. No wrinkles.
The socks don't know that.
Socks have feelings now?
Some of them do.
Which one? Argyles? Black Orlon? White Athletic?
The ones I bought you for Christmas.
Oh, you're inconceivable.
Thank you, Munch.
In a dream, I am walking through a field of mammary glands. Each mamma is set in bas-relief on a dinner plate growing on a stalk of Lisa Belmondo's green, homemade, uncooked fettuccine. I see myself passing through this field of breasts. I understand that I'm to look over all these, Mama, and to select one which I want to spend the rest of my life with. The rest of my life. I walk, I pass, and in passing, discard acres of glands. I'm looking for... Not the perfect breast, but a breast that... What? Suddenly, I have come to the end of the field, where someone in a shroud points back to the pasture through which I have passed. And when, in a sudden panic, I turn to make a hasty, even arbitrary selection, the mamma are gone, and in their places are assortments of various prosthetic devices borne to me on the limbs and in the jaws of old men. Lisa Belmondo's mother, Clara Scott Belmondo Edgar Pace Scott, had been married and divorced by three men, Belmondo, Edgar, and Pace, who had dedicated their earthly lives to the Ford dealership for which she was the bookkeeper. Belmondo and Edgar were mechanics. Edgar stole Lisa's mother from Belmondo. Pace, assistant manager of the parts department, stole Clara from Edgar, but dumped her like a rebuilt generator when he discovered she'd been having relations with their boss, Big Mike Kolodny, for 18 years. The age at which Lisa found herself when Pace packed up and cleared out of the house. When Big Mike finally divorced his wife of 35 years, he married a 22-year-old San Jose State co-ed who was picking up and delivering compacts for the dealership that summer. And Clara told Big Mike to stick a country squire up his keister and floor it. She quit forthwith and went to work for a pair of androgynous Japs who ran a Toyota outfit, and swore herself to a life of celibacy and anger. She was 42. Lisa was determined, I realized, not to make the same mistakes her mother had made.
mistakes which had resulted in the loss of three husbands and one lover. The latter, with whom she had been involved longer than the combined duration of all her marriages, and who may or may not have been the father of her child. It was to this end that Lisa had set out to make herself the perfect woman. I think all of the breasts in my dream were hers.
Go to the kitchen, Lisa. Make whatever it is you're concocting for us this lovely Sunday morning, and let me talk to Aaron for a minute.
Eggs, Vienna, whole grain buckwheat cakes, and freshly squeezed grapefruit juice.
I just want to get one thing straight between us. I don't give a fig if you're a fascist or a revolutionary. I don't even care that you're a Jew. You are a stranger, and you're living with my only child, the only tangible symbol of my life on earth that means anything to me. So I would just like to get this one thing straight between us so I know where everyone stands. You have no intention of marrying my daughter, do you? Now, don't let me rush your answer.
Well, that's not a simple question.
I just want to get things in perspective. My daughter has never really been in love before.
You make it sound like you think
I would just appreciate your telling me the truth. Do you have any intention of marrying my daughter?
Well, Mrs. Belmondo, Miss
fine,
Scott...
Fine. Now, that's settled.
Nothing.
I can tell her to forget all about that malarkey of the cattle ranch and a future full of shrubbery.
Lisa has a habit of dreaming dreams which often haven't been completely checked out with the other participants. I'm not saying I couldn't live on a cattle ranch, just that such talk seems a bit
insane.
Premature.
You're not the first. You know that, I hope.
First what?
I wouldn't want you to delude yourself.
About what?
Because you're not. Do you know who her first lover was? Has she dropped that little bomb on you?
I think if Lisa had wanted me to know...
Pace.
Hum Pace. Who's Hum Pace?
Pace. Doesn't ring a bell. Clara Scott Belmondo Edgar Pace Scott.
She slept with your third husband?
No, his brother.
I see. Well, I think that's a matter between, at least it wasn't some pimply hippie in the back of a VW van.
You'll wish it was.
Why?
Hum was a paraplegic.
Like Helly was.
You know why we called him Hum?
Oh, this'll be good.
Because he couldn't speak.
Sure.
He could only hum.
Couldn't speak, huh? You should have called him Mum, not Hum. Mum Pace.
He hasn't been out of a wheelchair in 17 years, since he was 8 years old. Never had a woman, never would have had, if Lisa hadn't decided to do something about it when she was 17. She told me about it afterwards. She wanted to know if I thought it was a terrible thing she had done. That's the last time I cried. So if you think it phases me one way or another whether you're going to tear my daughter to pieces, you are out of your mind.
Here we are.
Here comes breakfast. Bon appetit.
Munch?
Yeah?
Come out of the water and talk to me. Here. Let me dry you off. What did Clara say to you?
She wanted to know if I was going to marry you.
Oh, she shouldn't have asked you that. She had no right to. I apologize for her. What did you say, though, just out of curiosity?
I hear you slept with your uncle, the paraplegic.
I told you I made love with one other person.
Person sleeps with paraplegic uncle. Seems to be more to say than I told you I slept with one other person.
You needed someone to make love with him.
If the Boy Scouts of America said they needed someone to make love with him, would you do it?
No, but he wasn't the Boy Scouts. He couldn't be the Boy Scouts even if he wanted to.
Just how does one... Did you... Oh, Jesus, Lisa, you're incredible.
Thank you,
Suddenly,
Munch.
Suddenly,
I comprehend that I... What she asked you?
I don't comprehend how I got where I've gotten. The voice in my head
Lisa.
Squeaches indecipherably.
I think the time has come for me... To say something to you.
I think the time has come for me to say something to you too, Munch.
What?
Yes.
It's not mine. Do you hear me? It's not mine. Whose is it? It's Hum Pace's. Don't look at me like that. I got nothing to do with this.
All right, Munch. It's not yours.
Oh, God. How did it happen?
Just forget about it, okay?
Oh, sure.
Are you getting hungry? Should I go up and start dinner?
We gotta find an abortionist.
No. I'm gonna have the baby.
I'll kill you, Lisa. I swear to God I will.
It's not yours. You haven't got anything to say about it.
I'll kill you.
No, you won't. I'm going up and start dinner now, okay?
I hate children. Oh, my God. I'm a child myself. What am I going to do with a child?
You've lost 20 pounds, Mr. Weiss. And you've been evacuating your bowels 8 to 15 times daily for months. Now, didn't you think that suggested the need for medical consultation?
I don't know.
Yes, well, we're going to run some tests. And what I suspect we'll find, Mr. Weiss, is that you have a disease called colitis. It is, by all odds, a psychosomatic illness and is best dealt with through the removal of tensions or by psychotherapy. What are those scabs in your hand?
I've been attacking my bathroom door with my fists, holding it culpable for my endless trips to the facility it seals from the rest of my apartment, which is permeated round the clock by the coordinated effluvia of airwick and fecal matter.
I see.
Doctor?
Yes?
I need an abortionist.
I'm afraid I can't assist you there.
I need help. Hey, Ward, got a minute?
Hi, guy. How they hanging? I just broke the underwater record for the building. Want to take a shot at it?
Not right now.
You're a good underwater man. I've seen you.
Yeah. Listen, you're a pretty notorious guy with the ladies.
I heard that.
So I was wondering if maybe you knew where I might find an abortionist.
Uh-oh.
Well said, Ward. Well said.
Walk out on her.
She's pregnant.
I know she's pregnant. Why else would you be asking for an abortionist? Walk out on her.
I couldn't do that.
Why not?
Because I couldn't. That's why.
Swell reason. Let me tell you a story, okay? I once visited this psychiatrist when this psych major I was trying to do withheld her favors. She said I had a Don Juan complex and there'd be no sex till I got help. Well, I went and the trip was worth more than her favors ever could have been. The shrink tells me that many men live fulfilling lives, seducing woman after woman, avoiding emotional commitments, refusing to take vows of endurance. See my point?
It sounds like a very lonely existence.
Never heard of it. Take my advice. Find them, feel them, do the deed in a split second before you're sick of them, forget them. I got a feeling this stint here on Earth is the ball game, if you follow my meaning. I ain't getting stuck with some dolly I'm going to be nuts about for a week or two and bored with for 40 or 50 years. You know how long one lousy year is? You ever spent a whole year with one quail?
Actually, I've been living with Lisa for that long.
Ah, I never have and I never will. Kick her out, fetus and all.
Do you happen to know where I might find an abortionist?
Never stupid enough to need one. Gotta try to break my own record if you ain't gonna. See you, guy.
Lisa?
Just a second, Munch. I'm almost finished with what you wrote yesterday.
Just stop a second. Lisa.
Yes, Munch.
I'll marry you.
That won't be necessary, Munch.
I don't want you to have an illegitimate child.
I won't, Munch.
What are you going to do, marry your Uncle Hum Pace?
I don't have to marry anybody, Munch. I started my period today.
I don't believe I heard you correctly.
I'm having my period.
No, you're not.
I'm not pregnant anymore.
You never were. You had an hysterical pregnancy, and you knew it all along, didn't you?
I think I was so afraid of losing you that my mind made up to tell my stomach to pretend like it was pregnant. But I would never want to have your baby unless you wanted me to. I mean, I would have if there had been a baby, but I wouldn't have wanted to.
My bowels.
You want to know the truth? I want to have your baby more than anything else I can think of in the world.
A little munch. God.
My belly.
But I can wait till you're ready, so please don't feel under pressure about that, with all the other things you have to feel under pressure about. Okay, Munch?
Excuse me.
Munch? Munch, are you all right?
Never better, Lisa. Never better.
Why? Sit down. Relax. It's all over. You were a spectacular fellow. You passed with highest honors. It's all over. Dr. Weiss. Now get off that diet. Put on some weight. You look like a cadaver.
I am a cadaver. I'm dead.
What's that?
I said I will get off that diet and put on some weight.
How'd you do it, Weiss? I had you figured all the way for a jerk-off, and here you come in at the top of the class and have your dissertation accepted by the university press. How do you explain that, Weiss?
Explain it? I don't.
Whereas, previously, we considered you little more than another fringe lunatic on the fringe of the doctoral program, we must now recognize you as the toast of the department. Enviously despised by faculty and fellow students alike. How does it feel?
I don't know that either.
What I have decided to do, Weiss, is recommend that the department keep you on in a postdoctoral lectureship. What do you say to that?
I don't want to stay.
Yes, sir. A lectureship at one of the premier institutions of higher learning in the country. Now, don't be a schmuck.
Belmondo syndrome.
Never heard of it.
Too long in the ivory tower. Me? I plan to avoid that. Get out into the world and face it.
I see.
No, I don't believe you do, Professor Kaplan.
Well, why don't you explain it to me, Mr. Weiss?
Actually, I'm running a little late today. I'm about 2 colitis attacks behind schedule.
Maybe there's too much pressure inherent to a position here.
Oh, I can't hide anything from you, can I, sir? Yes, you're right. I'd prefer a position someplace where mediocrity will be sufficient. And where I won't have to hang around with a lot of pompous bastards like you.
Listen, fellow, why don't you go screw yourself?
Believe me, if I thought it would plug up my intestines, I'd be in contortions even...
Oh, Munch, I'm so proud to know you. First a book. A book? And now highest honors?
They offered me the opportunity to stay here, and I turned it down. I think you have the right to know that.
Oh. Well, I mean, I think the most important thing... What really counts here, Munch, is it... I think you should do what's the best thing for you.
Dr. Wise? I'm Dr. Joel D'Amico, head of the English Department at New Mexico A&M University in College Station, New Mexico.
I'm relieved to tell you, Dr. D'Amico, that I never heard of New Mexico A&M University.
I thought your papers, sir, was quite remarkable.
Perhaps you weren't listening closely.
Heretical, to be sure, but quite remarkable. Would it be fair to assume that your major interest in the field lies in the 20th century?
No, I have no interest in the field at all, Dr. D'Amico. I don't. The very last thing in the world I want to do is teach college English.
Oh, it's very good, Dr. Wise. It's very droll. What are our chances of keeping you away from the Ivy League and wooing you down to New Mexico?
Lisa, stop. Stop whatever you're doing.
Whipping.
I have something to say to you.
I have to whip, Munch. I have a special potato dish I'm making, and time is up.
I've accepted a job at New Mexico A&M. I'll be leaving.
Oh.
On the 1st of June to take a look at the place on my way home to Miami Beach.
Well, I'll start moving my things back into Clara's house.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry.
Buster, darling.
Yes, Mom?
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to your spending the summer with us.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll have an enormous amount of preparation to do.
Yes.
I won't have a lot of time for a lot of family frivolity.
Oh.
Some, sure, but not a lot.
Woke up, huh? I thought you were going to sleep right through the day. You got to get going, Munch, if you're going to make Las Vegas tonight. I was just having a last cup of herb tea while I was waiting for you to wake up.
I'm awake.
I know. After a year and a half, you don't have to tell me when you're awake. I packed all your things. I was just waiting so I can help you put everything into your Volkswagen.
I can do it myself.
Yeah, but I have everything in a particular order.
I'll figure it out.
Well, so
you take care of yourself, Munch. So long. Bye.
Lisa.
Yes?
Don't go.
I recognized in the recesses of my mind, where I could pretend I didn't, that somewhere en route, I would have to marry her and have it done with. In Las Vegas, I almost said it. We stood in the rococo foyer of one of the chapels and watched an elderly pair being married in an abbreviated neuter ceremony, backed up by a Scarlatti cantata. It was there, I almost said it. Almost plopped it right on top of Lisa's reverent silence for the two old people. Something couched in resignation, fraught with obligation, like, okay, so let's get married too then. But I didn't. I was waiting, I decided, to see how she would respond if I didn't say it. In a dream that night, I see a dump truck drive across my mind. It screeches to a stop just the other side of my eyes and dumps a load of mashed potatoes. I dive in, a bathe in the fluffy white stuff. My foot strikes something. I dive for it, bring it to the surface. The proverbial corked bottle, complete with message. I pop the cork. Shake the note out. It is written on the delicate, scented, personal stationery I gave Lisa for Christmas. The note is in her hand and written with the fine pen she gave me for my graduation. The message is brief. It says, "I have never had an orgasm with you."
It's true, Munch, but don't worry. All the pressure you've been under. I mean, who can blame you? And look, I never had one with Uncle Hum either.
He was a paraplegic.
It's not your fault, Munch.
Whose fault is it? Jesus Christ, why did you tell me?
Because you asked me, Munch.
Well, I got news for you. It's not my fault. It's not me. It's you.
Not much. It's not like sex is everything, for God's sake. I mean, if you ask me, companionship may be 10 times more important.
In the heat of the afternoon, we pulled off the interstate and onto the campus of New Mexico A&M University.
Cows.
It's an ag school, Munch. Herefords and Angus, see?
See? How can I not see a herd of cattle standing in front of me?
Why are you limping?
Why? My arthritis. Why the hell do you think?
What arthritis?
What do you think, people limp for laps? The arthritis of my lousy leg.
I didn't know you had arthritis.
Stinking air. What the hell do you expect? By morning, I'll be lucky if I can stand.
Arthritis you get in very humid or damp climates, Munch.
Oh, you're an expert on arthritis now, too, huh?
I read about it.
Why?
I just thought it might be a good thing to know something about.
Well, I got news for you. You don't know anything about arthritis. Round me up the first 10 imbeciles you see, and I'll show you 10 imbeciles who know more about arthritis than you do.
Probably right, Munch.
Please don't call me Munch. I know, it's supposed to be an endearment, but I honestly don't think I can tolerate to hear you call me Munch once more. Okay, Lisa? Huh?
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, sure. Aaron? Manure.
It stinks.
I love the smell. When we have our ranch, you'll have to get you an attack.
Oh, God.
Find a John.
Oh, Jesus, what am I going to do?
Let me drive. We'll find a John right now.
I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about my life. My only life. What am I going to do about my only life?
What are you going to do?
Well, it takes a little getting used to, you know, the dryness, the barrenness.
Oh, Dr. D'Amico, I love it.
But it'll grow on you, let me assure you.
Did you hear that? Aaron?
Yes, yes, I certainly... I'm sitting right across. I heard him. Grow on me. Great.
Say, Mrs. D'Amico has made some for peach cobbler. I don't think you've ever tasted a peach cobbler quite like
hers.
Oh,
I'd love to try some.
Dr. Wise?
I wonder if you'd mind if I excuse myself for a couple of minutes.
Oh, not feeling well, are you?
He has a little gastrointestinal problem.
Oh, nothing serious, I try.
Oh, no. I mean, nothing. Certainly nothing that would keep him from performing his job or anything like that.
Lisa.
Yes, Aaron?
Please, Lisa.
Oh, sorry.
Is there something I should know, Dr. Wise?
Oh, no. Nothing you should know. Not one thing. Excuse me.
Of course. Will you be wanting some cobbler?
Cobbler? Of course. Absolutely.
I have slept because I waken. It is night. I'm naked. In a bed. Lisa Belmondo, naked, sleeps beside me, on her back, as always, her hands loose at her belly. Beyond her, the bathroom light lifts the outline of her body into the space above the bed. I touch the nearer nipple that punctuates the air like the mast of some humpbacked ship. Blood roars in my head, seems to impel me to replace my fingers with my mouth, and then my mouth with my teeth. I hold the nipple firmly between my teeth, flick my tongue against it.
You want much? You need?
I do not respond. Instead, with the fluidity of a perfectly conceived piece of machinery, I bring my teeth together and behead the breast.
I'm afraid there was little more than a stub to salvage. I would suggest that you consult a cosmetic surgeon as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you wouldn't like something to ease the pain?
Synthetics. Synthetics.
I have to make out a report, so would you like to... I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't like to, but would you mind telling me how it happened?
Yes.
I see. Mr.
Hitler.
Excuse me.
Hitler, for Christ's sake. Aaron Hitler. That's my name.
Mr. Hitler, what's the story here?
I bit it off.
Now, don't kid around. I'm very tired.
What can I say?
You bit her nipple off?
That's right.
Is that the story, Miss Belmondo?
No.
You want to tell me what happened, Mr. Hitler?
She cut it off shaving.
Shaving?
You got a bad echo in here?
Shaving what?
Head, legs, I don't know. She took a wrong turn somewhere, saw something moving, and hacked it off.
This didn't happen with a razor.
I know. It happened with my teeth.
Something else.
Hedge clippers.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm just trying to help you out.
You know, I can bring the police out here and have them ask you how it happened, if you prefer that.
It makes no difference to me.
Doesn't, huh?
No, I wish it did, but it doesn't.
What'd she say?
I don't know. I'm further from her than you are.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I didn't.
You cut it off yourself? Is that true, Mr. Hitler?
I've already told you the truth. You didn't believe me.
This I could believe.
So write it down.
Is it the truth?
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll write it down.
You cut it off yourself, Lisa. That's the way it's going down in history. But if you think I'm in your debt, you're crazy.
She can stay or she can go.
Oh, those are good choices. Lisa, you can stay or you can go.
Go?
I'll just put you here on the bed. Okay? Do you want anything? Lisa?
No.
Oh, Jesus, I... I bit your nipple off, for Christ's sake. There's this, line from Gertrude Stein. You know Gertrude Stein? Huh? Lisa? She was this, writer. Yeah. She had problems. See what I mean? Problems. But she found a way to sabotage them. She wrote them away.
or at least under control, or something. Anyway, the line's from a piece called, skip it, it doesn't matter. You'll just memorize it anyway. I don't want you memorizing it. No offense, but I don't. The line goes, what is the use of being a little boy if you are to grow up to be a man? See? Lisa?
Oh, God.
I mean, see, I'm 26. I mean, I'm only 26. And I don't know how to love.
Oh, it's much worse, Aaron, is that you don't know how to be loved.
Lisa Belmondo turned her back on me. I drank three good shots of brandy and got into bed beside her. I expected to stare at the ceiling, to be haunted by severed nipples and nippleless breasts, by the terror of a loveless life, by that voice in my head. But instead, there was only blessed silence, inside and out. In the morning, when I awakened, Lisa Belmondo was gone. Dr. D'Amico?
Yes?
This is Aaron Weiss.
Oh, yes, Dr. Weiss.
I won't be coming back.
What do you mean?
It occurs to me that I'm burdened by the following conflict with literature. Not so much the prosaic Jewish problem that my family wanted me to be a doctor of medicine, or that I'm disinterested in literature, but that I despise it, the people who write it and the people who teach it.
Author, sir.
I'm sorry to inconvenience you. Actually, I'm not. I should be, and I wish I were, but I'm simply not. But there you have it. I'm going home to Miami Beach now, and I'm going to marry a Jewish princess, whose father can put me into a lucrative life's work. I am not driven to the toilet seat all day. And I'm not that night in Austin where I devour a pepperoni pizza and a pitcher of dark beer. For dessert, I throw down a bag of cashews, set the nuts afloat on two shots of Jack Daniels, no ice, no water. I pick up a burger and an order of fries to nosh on while I watch a little television before crashing drunkenly into a dreamless, soundless sleep. I awaken to my alarm clock, brew myself the package of instant coffee, sure gunpowder a day ago, in the little gizmo in the bathroom, then sit myself down to experience the first standard bowel movement I've had for what seems all my life long. But I'm constipated. My troubles are over.
The Disintegration of Aaron Weiss by Mark Medoff. John Pielmeyer played Aaron Weiss, and Jane Murray was heard as Lisa Belmondo. Others in the cast were Paul Ballantyne, Peter Getz, Peggy Baskerville, Virginia Harris, Tony Marcus, Jeff Chandler, and Ken Ruta. The play was directed by Carl Schmidt and engineered by Marv Nunn for Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.